Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1303, 1303. We'll be reading the first two verses of this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. Then we'll turn to James chapter 1, just a couple pages from there. Let's stand, please, as is our custom here, to stand during the reading of the Word of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Turn now to James chapter 1. And beginning with verse 13, we'll read through verse 16. We'll read these verses also responsively. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we have your preserved word. We praise you for that, and it's a wonderful tool for facing the new year and a new century. We pray that you'd help us as we listen tonight and help us take something away from here that will be helpful to our lives, and we pray that you'd help us in turn to be a blessing to others. Father, thank you for this great church, and we heard a bit about its history a while ago. We thank you for those who've gone before us and who paved the way that we might have this great church, this great crowd, and the great preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles again to James chapter 1. I want to show you just a bit before we pray a thing or two. James chapter 1. And verse number 14. But every man is tempted, I want you to notice that. When he is drawn away, I want you to notice that. Of his own lust, notice that. And enticed, notice that. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, notice that. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now there are several words here. First is tempted. Second, drawn away. Third, lust. Fourth, enticed. Fifth, sin. And sixth is death. Now you can close your Bibles and let me talk to you tonight. The title of my sermon is Those Dumb Rules. Those dumb rules. I'm sure that many of you who have expressed your sentiment about some of the rules at Howells Henderson College, Hammond Baptist Schools, and City Baptist Schools, I want to talk to you about those dumb rules. The text of my message tonight is not James 1. James 1 is an explanation of the text. But the text is that passage which I preach so often here and elsewhere, Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now the weight in the Bible is not a sin. It is something that would hinder you from running the race that is set before you, not a sin. for example, a friend of mine, that preacher friend of mine was a state champion, state golf champion, amateur golf champion for the state of Florida. He told me he's had to give up golf. I can't play golf once a week. I've got to play every day. He said golf was, for me, I had to give it up. Now, there's certain things. My own life, for example, I love sports. I don't go to games. Once in a while, I go to one of our high school basketball games, but I couldn't get too involved in sports. I like sports too much. That's not a sin, but for me, it's a weight. It would keep me from running the race that is set before me. Now then, the Apostle Paul, I think, wrote Hebrews, and he said, "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the things that are not sinful, but would hinder us." Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things you're supposed to give up. There's nothing wrong with them as far as sin's concerned. And then he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Father, bless me as I speak tonight and our people as they hear. And do thou tonight give us understanding about these dumb rules, please. Help me and the people as we share together this truth. Amen. I used to wonder why the word weights came in Hebrews 12:1 before the word sin. It says, lay aside every weight, and then it said, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I used to wonder why. I would have said, lay aside your sin first, and then as you grow in grace, you begin to lay aside your weights. That's what I would have said. And I for all these years, when I preach it, for example, I preach lay aside your sin first and then lay aside your weights. But God chooses. And by the way, nothing is in the Bible by accident. It's all there on purpose. Every jot and every tittle. And here's what I came up with. And here's why the word weights is mentioned before the word sin. The truth is, lay aside your weight, and that will prevent you from being tempted to the sin. Let me paraphrase this. Lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to the weight. What Paul is saying here, lay aside the weight and you won't get to the sin. Or, paraphrase again, lay aside every weight and the sin that is so close after you take the weight. Or, paraphrase again, the sin that is attached to the weight. Or, lay aside the sin that inevitably follows the weight. Or, lay aside the sin that surrounds the weight. Or you could put it, lay aside the sin that hangs around the weight. Or you could put it, the destination to which the weight leads. So God is simply saying, lay aside your weights and also the sin that follows the weight. For God is saying, if you lay aside your weight, you won't get to the sin because the sin is that which leads to the weight. It was not a sin for, excuse me, not a sin for David to take the day off. The Bible said the kings went forth to battle, and David was not among them at the time. It was not a sin for David to take the day off. But David would not have sinned if he hadn't taken the day off. It was not a sin for Peter to lag behind when Jesus was being tried and crucified. But he wouldn't have sinned if he hadn't lagged behind. It was not a sin for the prodigal son to leave home. He was an adult boy. It was not a sin. But he wouldn't have sinned if he had not have left home. It was not a sin for Achan to look at the valuables in Jericho, but he wouldn't have sinned if he hadn't have looked at the valuables in Jericho. It was not a sin for the young man in Proverbs chapter 7 to be on the street near the bad woman's house, but he wouldn't have sinned if he hadn't have been on the street near the bad woman's house. It was not a sin for Lot to choose the well-watered plain toward Sodom, but he wouldn't have sinned if he hadn't have chosen the well-watered plain towards Sodom. It's not a sin for a young person to hang around the mall without going there to buy something, But many a sin could have been prevented if young person stayed home and could hanging around some stupid mall where a bunch of hippies are hanging around. I'm saying tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that the weight is that which if you prevent or lay it aside, you will not yet be tempted to the sin. It is that thing that precedes the sin, previews the sin, and leads to the sin, and makes the sin easier to commit. Now, follow me carefully. It is better explained in James chapter 1 and verse 14. There are six states here, or six areas here. One, tempted. Two, drawn away. Three, enticed. Four, lust. And five is sin. Now, what God is saying is this. By the way, it's interesting. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is not a sin to be drawn away. It is not a sin to be enticed. It is not a sin to lust or have an appetite for something. But those are the steps that lead to sin. So, if you don't want death, stay away from sin. If you don't want sin and death, stay away from lust. If you don't want sin and death and lust, stay away from enticement. If you don't want sin and death and lust and enticement, stay away from being drawn away. If you don't want sin and lust and death and enticement and be drawn away, then stay away from temptation. Let me show you what I mean. Fellows, line up here and face me right here, would you please? These men, just face me, run up behind the other, and move over where I can get by you. Good. Fine. All right. Now, over there, we have, right over here, follow me carefully, we have death. Now, what leads to death? Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, if you don't want to die, and we're talking about your hopes to die, your dreams to die, your marriage to die, your health to die. If you don't want to die, then stay away from sin. And I think we've chosen a pretty good person here to represent sin. Now then, however, if here's a person, let's say a young person, for example, he's coming along in life, and he comes to temptation. Now then, if you can keep him from temptation, you'll keep him from sin. There are four different steps here that lead to sin, and sin leads to death. So, the thing is, if I don't want to die, then I must not go into sin. If I don't want to go into sin, then I must not have the lust. If I don't want to go into the lust, then I must not have the enticement. I don't want to go to the enticement. I must not be drawn away. If I'm not going to be drawn away, I must not be tempted. Now, don't you think it'd be a lot smarter to make the rule right here rather than back there? Here's the difference in Howells Anderson College and your so-called Christian colleges around America today. They have rules that you can't do this, but we have rules that you can't do this. Because we know when you do this, that leads to this, that leads to this, that leads to this, and that leads to sin, and that leads to death. And don't you let these pussy-footing colleges try to tell you that they have more love than we have. Let me ask you a question, my dear friend. Which has more love? The person that lets you get all the way back to here, and one slip up, and you're in sin, and then comes death? Or the college that says, we don't want you to get close to death, or close to sin, we'll put the rules right here. And that's what these dumb rules are all about. So, what it says here, it says, temptation, by the way, temptation is caused by somebody. Then drawn away. Didn't say wanders away. Drawn away. That's caused by somebody. Then it says you're enticed. Somebody entices you. And that means you stay away from the crowd that tempts you. And stay away from the crowd that draws you away. And stay away from the crowd that entices you. And what I'm trying to say is this. Hammond Baptist Schools, we want to keep you as far from sin as we can. At Howells Anderson College, we want to keep you as far from sin as we can. So we don't go right up here, as most of your, these so-called loving schools do. You listen carefully. a school that lets you get right here to sin before they make a rule doesn't love you at all. The school that loves you, I don't care if it's Hammond Baptist School, City Baptist Schools, Hiles Anderson College, I don't care if it's the activities of the youth department of First Baptist Church in Hammond, you better thank God tonight, that there's a school here that tries to keep you from step number one, so you will not be led to step number two, so you will not be led to step number three, so you will not be led to step number four, so you will not be led to sin, so you won't die. What we're trying to do is give you life and not death. And the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And these dumb rules that you don't like are not dumb rules at all. They're wise rules trying to keep you from death, by keeping you from sin, by keeping you from lust, by keeping you from enticement, by keeping you from being drawn away, and by keeping you from temptation. Now you listen carefully. We're trying to keep you as far away from death as we can. Now if you get right here, then we'll stop you here. You get right here, we'll stop you here. You get right here, we'll stop you here. You get right here, then of course it's too late, you're going to die. But you ought to thank God. This man a while ago said right here, the best place in the world to rear your children. You know why it's the best place in the world? Because there's one old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone church left in America that believes in the old-fashioned verities, old-fashioned conviction, old-fashioned standards, the old-time religion, old-fashioned honesty, old-fashioned decency, old-fashioned modesty, old-fashioned purity. We've not succumbed to the new morality and the hippie generation. We simply said, we love our young people too much. We don't want you to die. And if we don't want you to die, we don't want you to sin. And we're going to keep you as far away from sin as we can. So, at Hammond Baptist Schools, we want to keep you, as I said, as far away from sin as we can. At City Baptist Schools, we want to keep you as far away from sin as we can. At Hiles Anderson College, we want to keep you as far away from sin as we can. That's why, you young people, you want to get out in the car alone with your girlfriend and have a date, listen to me, and have a date by yourself. What you're doing is you're flirting around right here. When you say, I can be trusted, you cannot be trusted. Nobody can be trusted when you lead yourself that close. We're trying to, and here you are, right here, right now. Well, what's the matter with being in a car alone with a boy? There's nothing sinful about being alone in a car with a boy, except it's one step towards sin, from sin. One, that's all. So, we make rules that prevent the weights. Other schools make rules. Other churches have convictions and standards that prevent the sin. But we say, lay aside your weight. That means lay it aside here, and you won't get 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 here. But some of you kids tonight, and you adults also, you're flirting with sin, and you're flirting with death, and the reason is, you just don't want to sin, but you want to have all the fun you can between here and sin. But by the time you get going downhill here, brother, you're going too fast to stop here, and the soul that sinneth, it'll die, and the life that goes on in the sin, it'll die. But thank God, as long as this old man has breath to breathe and strength to lead this institution here, here are our rules right here, ladies and gentlemen. We want to keep you from temptation so you won't be drawn away, so you won't be enticed, so you won't lust, so you won't sin, so you won't die. You young folks, instead of complaining about us, you ought to thank God so I loves you enough to keep you that far from sin. You college students ought to jump up and down and say, glory to God tonight. There's somebody who loves me enough. They want to keep me four steps from sin. There's somebody who loves me enough at Hiles Anderson College and Hammond Baptist Schools and First Baptist Church. They're concerned about me enough to be called fanatics and narrow-minded and old folky and old-timey. But the only reason we're doing it is not because we have a few things we're trying to keep you from doing that are fun. We're trying to keep you from death. We keep you from death. We got to keep you from sin. We keep you from sin. We got to keep you from lust. We keep you from lust. We got to keep you from enticement. We keep you from enticement. We got to keep you from being drawn away. Keep you from being drawn away. We got to keep you from temptation. It's an old story. You heard it. A young lady came to my office. Hiles Anderson student. She said, Brother Hiles, I'm going to break your heart tonight. I said, what is it? She said, I'm a fallen woman. I'm a fallen woman. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I never thought it happened to you. Where did this happen? She said, in the hallway of Howells Henderson College. Oh, my soul, in the hallway of Howells Henderson College. I said, tell me about it. She said, I held a boy's hand. That's all she did. And I had a spell. Thank God there's some place left in America. Thank God there's some place left in America where when you hold hands, you're a fallen woman. But what happened? She got past here, but bless God, there's still three other steps before she gets to sin. If we had said, okay, here's the rule right here, then if she'd become a fallen woman from here, she falls into adultery, in fornication, maybe illegitimate child is born. Why? I'll tell you why. Because a bunch of cowardly preachers across this nation haven't got enough guts to stand up and say, we'll not only keep you from sin, we'll keep you from temptation. If the destination is sin, we block the road. Say it again. If the destination is sin, we block the road. I agree. Thank you, fellas. I agree. The rules are dumb. But the results aren't. That's what they turn out right there. Ed Lapina, 4 years old, came to our church. We made rules. He broke them all. No, sir, that's what we're trying to turn out here. And that's what we're trying to turn out here. And that's not what we're trying to turn out. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you mark it down, you put it on your little cuff tonight and make a note of it, and you put it in red blood and underline it and cap the letters, you mark it down. What we're doing here works, and this is what America used to be all about. Lay aside your weights, and then no problem about the sin that follows. Don't you wait till you get to the sin. You go back here and lay aside the weights. That's what Jesus did. The rule said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, don't look to lust. What was he saying? Exactly what I said a while ago. Now you say what you want to say, and you can call us dumb. But hey, you liberals, trot your product out. Show me how many preacher boys you've turned out. Show me how many young men are pastoring churches around the world. Show me your missionaries on foreign fields you've turned out. They don't turn out that way. When you make your rule right here and one step towards sin, you turn out a bunch of rebels, a bunch of rock music kickers that disregard the law, obedience, and respect for authority. Brother, back up here and stop right here and say we love you so much, we're going to keep you as far away from sin as we can. The rule said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the sin. Jesus backs up here and says, you be careful how you look at a woman. That's the way. The rule said, thou shalt not kill. That's the sin. Jesus backed up here and said, you shouldn't even hate anybody. The rule said, thou shalt not steal. Jesus backed up here and said, you shouldn't even covet. The rule said, love your neighbor. Jesus backed up here and said, love your enemy also. The rule said, don't hit first. Jesus backed up and said, don't hit second. Turn the other cheek. The rule said, do what you swear to do, and Jesus backed up and said, don't swear at all. The rule said, go a mile. Jesus backed up and said, if men ask you to go a mile, go with them too. The rule said, if man steals your coat,
give him but Jesus said, give me a coke also. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a day when this country had some space between sin and temptation. You're not going to sit there and watch those naked women, or half-naked women on television. You're not going to trot down there to some movie house or go down to Blockbuster and get you a card. And, by the way, if you don't get the card, you can't charge any movies. You don't charge any movies, you won't have that stuff in your home unless you have it on your television set. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, my Bible said not only avoid evil, my Bible said avoid the appearance of evil. These aren't dumb rules. They're rules that work, and they built America. I said they built America. I've been reading some biographies lately, my spare time, and about the old preachers. The thing that's being preached from right here behind this pulpit tonight was preached 100 years in America by Baptists, by Methodists, by Presbyterians, by the Christian denomination, by the Assemblies of God, by the Nazarenes, by the Church of God. All those great denominations preach exactly. And the only difference, ladies and gentlemen, is they may preach against sin. We preach against what leads to sin. They preach against the destination. We preach against the journey. Jesus was simply saying, if you don't want to have the sin to lay aside the weight that leads to the sin. A man said to me, he said, First Baptist Church of Hammond is the best wife-producing place in the world today. The best place to get a wife in the world is First Baptist Church of Hammond. Would you like to know why it is? You guys stand up here again. Would you like to know why it is? We say to our young ladies, if you don't want to be immoral, then don't you get close to it. So put those pants up and put those shorts up and put the bathing suit up and put your miniskirt up and get you a decent length skirt and dress modestly. You say for the house, I'm sick and tired of that preaching. You'll get sicker and tired of it as the years come and go. That's with you old men. Okay, call me old. Let me tell you something, brother. When America preached what I preached tonight, we didn't have a bunch of hippies running out trying to destroy the country. We didn't have a president that's thinking draft dodger. We didn't have a Monica Lewinsky situation. Back in the days where we said, before you lay aside your sin, lay aside your weights. And before you die, don't sin. And before you sin, don't lust. And before you lust, don't be enticed. And before you're enticed, don't be drawn away. And before you're drawn away, don't be tempted. Now, I want you to notice one little line. You don't follow me carefully. Let me read it to you. It says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Follow me now. First is temptation. That is not sin. Second is being drawn away. That is not sin. Third is lust. That is not sin. Fourth is enticed. That is not sin. Fifth is sin. Now, the next verse, after he lists those, he doesn't say, do not sin, my beloved brethren. He says, do not err. Are you following me? He doesn't say, do not sin. He said, don't you even make a mistake. He isn't saying, do not sin. He's saying, lay aside your weights. He's saying, a long time before you get to sin, you stop. Have you seen those little benches we have at Howells Anderson College? I'll go out and see them. They're little two-seat love seats. for young people, dates can sit together on and benches on the campus. But if you'll look very carefully, you'll find a piece of solid wood right in the middle. Go out and look at it.
Say, whose idea was that?
Humility prevents me from telling you whose idea it was.
But I'll tell you what. Ain't no kids out there on those benches gonna
touch each other unless they get, unless they like to touch wood, rub wood.
Why?
You say, Brother Hines, that is so dumb. Don't you have confidence in those kids? I don't have confidence in anybody's flesh.
So they sit out there. It looks like they're sitting close to each other. They're not. There's a piece of wood right between them.
What are you trying to do?
Trying to show them we love them.
We're trying to see to it that those young people at Hammond, Howells Anderson College, and those young people at Hammond Baptist High School. That's why we don't allow a bunch of thigh-showing cheerleaders come to our high school and our gymnasium and show their thighs as they go round and round and their skirts fly. That's what you say, preacher. This is 1999.
No, it's not. It's 2000.
And if I'm alive at 3,000, we'll still have the same rule.
The other day, other night at Hammond Baptist Schools, the other night, there's a basketball game. The other cheerleaders came out and they had all been told they had to abide by our rules and our place. And they came and they had on the little short skirts and showing their thighs. Nothing more than a Las Vegas chorus routine. And thank God for Don Boyd. Don Boyd said, young ladies, you will not be allowed to cheer at Hammond Baptist High School. You can sit here if you want to, but you cannot get out on the platform and cheer.
You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about we're trying to keep them from death. And to keep them from death, we got to keep them from sin. And we want to keep our kids as far away from sin as we can. And to that goal and that cause, I've given myself for these 40 years.
And some of you, this just tonight, you say, I've never seen anything like this. Don't confess to me your sin of choosing the wrong church to go to. A little lady walked up to me. Hey, I'm sort of, this is my introductory sermon of the year. This is my millennial sermon. I was preaching in a distant state. Preached something like this. The lady walked up to a female, I guess, walked up to me. And upper middle age. She said, oh, my. In all of my life, I've never heard anything quite like that. And I said, don't confess your sin or going to the wrong church to me. Go all the way to God, confess it to Him. She said, you remind me of the Piltdown man. Or the Neanderthal man. And I said, yes, ma'am. And you look like you were there. She said, thank God. She said, if I was married to you, I'd kill you. I said, if I was married to you, I'd buy you the gun. We won't live any longer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as sure as there be a God in heaven, every one of us wants our kids to kiss. By the way, some of you parents ought to make the same rules we make. And tonight, all of it is for one reason. We want to keep you and yours from death. And if we keep you and yours from death, we must keep you and yours from sin. And if we keep you and yours from sin, we must keep you and yours from lust. And if we keep you from lust and sin and death, we must keep you from enticement. And to keep you from enticement, we must keep you from being drawn away. And to keep you from being drawn away, we want to keep you from temptation. And that's what it's all about. There's somebody that still loves you enough. And by the way,
You have no idea. I'll lose a few families over this sermon tonight. And I'll cry myself to sleep sometime when I'm in heaven. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to me. I'm not trying to make friends influence people. I'm trying to make lives influence young people and turn them out decent to decent young people. Well, you say those rules are dumb. The rules are dumb, but bless God, the results are not dumb. So tonight, where are you? I'm talking to adults here too. Where are you tonight? In sin? Or one step from it? Huh? If you fell tonight, where would you fall? That young lady at Howells Anderson College, I'm a fallen woman, what you do? She fell from here to here. But she's still several steps from sin. What if you fell tonight? Where would you fall to? Huh? Are you here? Or are you two steps away from sin? Or three steps? Or four steps away from sin? Jesus inspired the apostles to say, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth follow that weight and the sin which doth surround that weight and the sin to which that weight leads. He said, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Now, if you have not laid that weight aside and you find yourself already in sin, lay that aside. But don't you think it's a lot better for you to lay aside the weight before you get to the sin and wreck and ruin your life? Where are you tonight? Where are you? Huh? What are you watching? What are you reading? What kind of music are you listening to? Let me tell you something. Rock music with its filth and rot stands right here. Right here. It has caused more people to sin and die than anything. Well, you say, well, this is the kind of music I like. Well, it so happens to be there's some things you like to sin, you like to die. You like to have a wrecked and ruined life. Then it might be a good idea for you not to do everything you enjoy doing. And so somewhere tonight, some of you folks are standing right here and you say, thank God. Thank God they're trying to keep me from death, which is caused by sin. Some of you are standing right here. You're one step closer to sin and death. And some are standing right here. And some are standing here. You say, well, Miles, I just don't agree with that. Why don't you then change what you believe, some of you 16-year-old geniuses? Why don't you change what you believe and realize that a fellow been pastoring 52 years has pastored more people than anybody in America. I've seen more decent young people turn out. I've seen more young people turn out in full-time Christian service. I've got more preachers around the world tonight than any other man who's ever pastored. I know what I'm talking about. I know if you don't want to die, you don't sin. If you don't want to sin, then you don't lust. If you don't want to lust, you don't be enticed. You don't want to be enticed. You don't get drawn away. You don't get run away. You don't get tempted. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at the devil and say, I'm staying as far away from you as I can. By the grace of God, we'll see to it by those stupid rules. Those dumb rules. You saw those young ladies stand up here and sing a while ago. All those are bus kids. Came from the Chicago streets. In some cases, the ghettos of Chicago. We didn't bring them out here and say, we have some Christian rock. We brought them out here and said, we have Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We didn't bring them out here and say, you can come out here and we'll dig it for Jesus. No, we don't dig it for Jesus. Come out here and have a spiritual blast. When it blasts me, God, the hot air comes out of my mouth. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Lay aside your weights. And the sin can be prevented. Would you bow your heads, please?
Thank you, fellows.